Jan's taking, she's staying with her mom, and we have Momo weekend, and her mom is not as alert as she needs to be, and real lonely, and so we opted the weekends to go and stay with her. I begged off and came here, so good to be here, and I know when we go in, though, what tickles me is last weekend I was there, and when I went in, it looked like she was dying any minute, and it's like she's in her bed, the room was dark, the curtains are pulled, she's got a towel on her head, a garbage can by the sink, and I'm by the bed, and I'm thinking, I asked Jan, I said, is this it? She said, I don't know, I can't tell, and so I prayed, and I believe in the power of prayer. And I said, I'm going to run and get some. I was starved. I went to Full Moon. They got one there. And so I went through the drive-thru. And by the time I got through the drive-thru at Full Moon, got back to the house, she was sitting in the den watching Christmas movies on a Hallmark channel. No towel on her head and laughing. So the Lord does that. And I think it's not just the fact that I prayed, but I believe that upbeat company has a lot to do with your demeanor or how you feel or whatever's going on in your life. So we're very positive when we go there. And even if we don't feel positive, we put on positive and we go there and do that. And it's a lot of fun. And we get to hear stories sometimes over again. And it's okay. We enjoy that. And I told her, she said, did I tell you that? I said, yeah, tell me again. Just tell me that story one more time. I'll see if it's different from the last time. You know, so anyway, we enjoying that, and God bless Jim wherever he's at today, and Patsy, and so we're thankful to be here. I had, you know, sometimes when Jim asks me to speak, I've got like this, I've already got it. You know, I like a couple times ago he asked me to speak, boom, I could have done it right then. He sent me a text some time ago, and he said, can you speak on that Sunday on the 25th? I said, sure. I had no idea. And then I had this wonderful thought, and I began to make notes on it on my handy-dandy note 8 on the little scribble on the page. Sometimes you can read it later, and sometimes you can't. And so I began to make some notes, and all of that got blurry. And then got another word, and I thought, this is it. I know this is it for the Vineyard on Sunday morning, the 25th, and I got there, and when I began to look at that, it got blurry again. The Lord wasn't highlighting any of that stuff. And I said, okay, finally I said, at about 7 o'clock last night, sitting at the bar in the kitchen, and the dog's running through the house, watching dog TV, and she's barking at all the dogs, and of course, I'm trying to hear the Lord. And all I hear is bark, bark, bark. So finally, she got quiet, and I began to hear what the Lord is saying. I want to read. Let's go ahead and get into the scripture. I'm going to be in Isaiah to begin with, the book of Isaiah. And if you want to read along. And I actually was reading, being one who was raised in the old King James, I study out of that, and then usually I go back over and I find the translation that most accurately describes what the text really is saying, even before King James was translated into English. And I try to go back and find what the original manuscripts are saying, but I didn't do that. So I'm reading out of the King James today, and I'm sorry. If those of you that offend, I hope you can forgive me. I'm going to read in chapter 61, and here's what he says. And the reason my hands are in my pocket, my hands are cold, so I'm just trying to keep them warm. So if I pray for somebody later, I won't freeze you out when the time comes. The Spirit of the Lord is, verse 1, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and to opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, and the word mourn is not the mourning, it's like mourning. For ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I'm going to flip on over. We're going to go out of this one over into the book of Luke, chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and you want to read along, you're welcome to. And they, let me give you what happened, what's happening right here in the text. This is a place where every year, I mean, every week when they met at synagogue, someone would get up and read a portion of Scripture. And so it was this day, not this calendar day, but the day that when where this Scripture is at, it was this day, it was Jesus' turn to speak, and they read chronological out of the text. And they would read, and so somebody last week was reading the Scriptures before this, and when they got to this one day, it was Jesus' turn to speak, and here's what he says. And they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." I want to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. "To preach deliverance to the captives." We may talk about that a little bit. "And recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised." We may mention that. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book. He gave it to the minister. He sat down, and all the eyes were on in the synagogue were on him then. And he began to say unto them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Imagine the timing when it's turned, Jesus turned to speak. He reads this text, and when he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," while you're here. The reason I chose this particular scripture is because there is a let me see if I can get this right. There is a people are living. Let me go back to one thing. The word that I wanted to bring out, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to heal the brokenhearted one is the one that I want to talk about. I am dealing with a couple of situations right now, not in my family, not in my local, not in this group, but I'm dealing with a situation where there is a, and I'm not airing anybody's laundry, I'm not talking bad about people, I'm just saying this. Because the reason I'm saying this is because at this time of year, the enemy would do everything he can to cause division and strife in families and in homes as they meet and get together. Y'all know that's true. And there are people who get their feelings hurt, and I'm dealing with actually two situations right now, not with my family, not with Chris, not with Laura, not with Mike and Reagan and their group, because we're all wonderful, as far as I know. And hallelujah. But everybody can't say that. Everybody can't say that they're going, there's going, and Christmas and holidays are a really rough time for them. And what the Lord wants to do today is those of people who are having difficulties in their family, the Lord actually wants to begin the healing process instead of this time of the year being a time of dread. And I hate going there. I hate being around those people. I don't want to go there. I want to put something in the pie. I'll fix this. But the Lord wants to cause healing to come so that to heal the brokenhearted. And I was, one of the situations that I'm dealing with right now, I was talking to the people, one of the parties, and I heard myself say, you know, sometimes when the Lord speaks to you, you hear what he's saying when everybody else hears what he's saying. I wasn't thinking about this particular scripture. And this is a situation where a mother and a daughter and some family members are not happy with each other. And the Lord is calls me in the middle of all of that, calls me to say this scripture. And it's in the book of Malachi. It's actually the last verse in the Old Testament. And I want to read it for you. It's in Malachi chapter 4, and it's verse 6. And he shall turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and the hearts of the children to the parents, unless I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, let's say this right here. Family curses are curses that are in families that cause problems. The Lord says, we begin to pray the hearts of the children be returned to the fathers or the parents, and the hearts of the parents be returned to the children. And what he does when we do that is he breaks the curse. The opposite, like if you played that backwards, what happens is the curse gets broken, and there's a curse. We can pray that word, and I begin to pray that word. I heard myself say that in the middle of a conversation. I wasn't even in the conversation, and all of a sudden here I am. I'm blurting out this scripture, and I'm thinking, I don't feel like preaching right now. I don't have my preach on. I don't have my best necktie. I don't have an audience. I just said that word. And so I begin to pray that word, and actually already it's begun to take place. We have the ability in us to speak the words over situations and cause the word of God over situations. God's word works. That'd be good for a bumper sticker. God's word does work. And he heals the brokenhearted. And there's healing coming to that group. I tell you, it's healing coming. And not just that one. There's others. And there's somebody may in this room may be having some difficulties meeting with your family members. And the Lord, trust me when I tell you, the Lord wants that situation to be a good thing. Amen. He wants the meeting to be a good meeting. I want to say this, and it sort of sounds smart aleck prophetic. And the Lord wants to break curses that are spoken. It was said in me growing up, somebody would call you a name and you'd say, sticks and stones may, but words will never. Y'all grew up with the same group that I grew up. The words that are saying are words that are hurt, oftentimes are not encouraging. They're hurtful and they cause problems. I'm going to say this. This is my personal life. My kimono is open. In the 80s, I had a problem with my dad. And he and I didn't speak for a few months. I only called him on Father's Day and said, Happy Father's Day. Bye. How cruel was that? Of course, he wasn't 86 years old then. And it probably just blew it off, you know. Now it'd kill him if I did that. And somebody prayed the prayer over me that the hearts of the father would be turned to the children and the hearts of the children be returned to the father. And he had come into town for a meeting, a statewide meeting in the denomination that they're in. And I found myself laying in the floor, kneeling beside his bed, praying and asking him and begging him forgiveness for my attitude. And the Lord healed our situation. It was rough. It was not pretty at all. And the Lord fixed it. The Lord wants to do the same thing, not just with the fathers and sons and with daughters and moms and cousins and all. He wants to fix all of that. He wants it to be well. The curse got broken in that day. Dad and I are good friends. We have breakfast from time to time. And whenever he feels like getting out of the house, we go to the Sizzler. And he thinks that's the only place in the world to eat breakfast. Because you can eat all you want on Saturday morning. The Lord did that. Family curses. I was pastoring a church in South Alabama a few years ago. and Chris was, and Mike were young and younger. And I was the church was going through some financial issues. We had had a lot of money going out and not any money coming in, and very little. And so we, the ladies on Thursday mornings would make up chicken salad, and we would make chili dogs, and we would go around, and we had certain places that we went to and sold on Thursday. That was their lunch. We would sell them to make money. I was in the kitchen, and this man was walking down the street out there, and he was drunk and looking at the kitchen. I was in there with the ladies, and the ladies began to laugh and say, "Oh, there's the town drunk. His daddy was the town drunk." And I'm thinking, does he have children? His children had, what kind of legacy were we passing on here? His children was going to be the children of the town drunk. And they laughed. I was in the middle of a 12-day fast. And I'd gone into the office, and I looked out the window, and I saw the man. And I didn't even know what to do. I wasn't trained in praying, "Lord, Holy Spirit, come." I was Pentecostal, and I only knew one way to do it. And I prayed it in a Pentecostal way. And guess what? The Lord answered that prayer. That little man got saved. 3 weeks later, he was drunk. The Assembly of God was up the street, and they had a Sunday night service. He stumbled into the service on Wednesday night and got gloriously saved, filled with the Spirit. Family came, and they all changed. And Lord, the Lord broke the curse in that. So no longer was this man the town drunk. God fixed it. So in the middle of that fast, I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, okay, I'm the one that prayed. I broke that off of him. I didn't know what I was doing. I prayed that. Lord, why did they go to the Assembly of God? I wanted them to come to our church." And the Lord said, "Because they laughed at the town drunk." I said, "Ooh, we will not laugh at the town drunk anymore." But the good news is he got saved, and that's, and he came to Christ. And we applaud that. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to break curses and curses over the family. I was thinking about this. We went through a thing in the vineyard in Birmingham. It's called the Abundant Life. It was actually from the Grayson Valley. It's, I mean, Cathedral of Praise. Cathedral of Praise? Yeah, I think it's Cathedral of Praise Church. Anyway, it's in Birmingham, and on the parkway there. And at that time, it was there. And we went to part of that, Jane and I did. And we heard all kind of teaching about breaking curses and breaking family things. And I learned from that time the Lord really wanted to do that. There's people who are, I saw in our group that Jane and I were in, we saw the Lord heal a number of marriages that were like down the toilet. And we would just pray over them, and the Lord did it. And so I'm really proud of that. Breaking the family curses and breaking curses over people. Because everything in growing up, when people are, my dad and mom were very kind to me. They spoke kindly to me. They didn't speak bad words over me. And they blessed us. Show you what dad did. It's kind of goofy. But he says to me, I'm about 17 at the time. 16, and he says, I was craving, I wanted a Mustang GT, the 2 plus 2, the fastback, or I wanted a 67 Pontiac GTO. I really wanted, I craved with a 389. I wanted to, I had it all figured out. I was praying. I wanted one of them really bad. And Dad said, "Come in the living room, son." He was living in a little church. Dad was pastoring a church in north part of South Carolina, right up in the triangle, right over in the top corner in the mountains. And so he said, "Come in the living room." So I went in the living room. He said, "Big picture window. I mean, it's huge." And he pulled the curtains back. He said, "I want to give you something money can't buy." And I said, "Is it a GTO or is it a Mustang?" You know, and he opened the curtain and there was nothing out there. I said, "Okay, what kind of?" I'm like, maybe it's rolled down the hill. And I'm looking up and down. I didn't see it. I said, "Where is it?" He said, "It's out there." there's the world. Go get it. And I'm thinking, what kind of thing is that? It's a sick joke. You know, he was trying to give me something. But what he gave me was, after I got over that, and what he was telling me was, there is whatever God has for you out there, go get that. He didn't say all that, but what he was telling me, whatever God has for you, go get it. Yeah. That's a whole lot better than you're no good. You'll always wear a paper hat. You'll always work at Taco Bell. You'll always have nothing. He was not any of that. There are people that grew up hearing those kind of statements like that. And the Lord also heals those. If you have that ever happens to you and you're still affected by that, we can pray for that. And the Lord will heal that wounded spirit. And the last thing I want to talk about is this. Let me move on down. The next thing is preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, and preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. And I want to talk about in a church family situation. The Lord has given me we have, over the years, we've received all kinds of prophetic sayings, all kinds of things. And just a few years ago, Jan and I were pastoring a church here not too far from here. And we went to California, and when we got to California, it was powerful. There's the vineyard there in Anaheim, and we went there, and I wanted to see Robbie Dawkins, his vineyard guy, and I wanted to meet him. I went there with the sole purpose, raised the money, went there, got the money together, went there and to meet Robbie and hang out with Robbie. I'd met him before at other pastors' conference and sat at the table with him at breakfast, but I wanted to go and hang with Robbie for a minute. And so I was sitting up on the top level of the second, third level up in the Anaheim, and Jan and I were, and so Robbie said, I'm going to give my time to this guy named Todd. So Todd goes up and he starts, this weird-looking guy with dreadlocks and funny hair and funny outfit, and he began to preach. And he hadn't been even saved for like 9 years at the time, and he was telling me stuff I had never heard before in my life, and he's preaching the gospel. I mean, it's like I'm sitting behind a 747 that's on the tarmac and it's revved up. That's what I felt like. We were up there and I was just sitting there. All I could do was cry. I cried the whole time. Jan said, and he said, I'm going to pray for anybody who wants prayer. And of course, there's Anaheim. It's like a huge flat area at the bottom. And so, and where the main floor. So it took us a while to get down there. And he said, I'm praying for everybody. Anybody who wants prayer. So he's up at the front, and I'm working my way around, and we're way around, all the way around. It's like where it turns and goes back up, and we got in this long line. It was like in the afternoon. He had preached a long time. And Jan said, are we going to go get something to eat now? I said, no, ma'am. You can go if you want to. This is what I came for. This is what I'm taking home. So we got on around about that time. People started getting tired and standing in line. I'm thinking, Day of Pentecost, Jesus told 500 to go tarry in Jerusalem until you be receive the Holy Spirit. And so only 120 stayed. I said, they got tired and they got hungry and they decided to leave and go home. But 120 stayed and got. I said, I'm staying. I came to get it. I got up to the front, finally where Todd, I got not a goosebump. I didn't get a cry. I didn't get a glory bump. I didn't get a shake and bake. I didn't get anything. I just stood there and received. He prayed a prayer, and he laid his hand on me. He said, I saw you up there. He said, I saw the glory of the Lord shining, the light of the Lord shining down on you too. And I said, I turned to her, and I said, that's why I came to California. That's why I stood in the line for a long time. Then we moved on. He said, and the Lord's going to use prophetic word, the prophetic word of the Lord. This is came to us. I had no idea that the very next week, or the week after that, that I would lose my job there. But it worked out. The very next day after I lost my job there, my last day to speak at that church, I was killed. I'd forgotten what Todd said. I'd forgot about all that whole experience. I was poor, pitiful me. I'm out here in Tuscaloosa sweeping up some dirt, waiting on the inspector to come, and I'm sweeping. And my phone rings. This guy don't have a clue. He's clueless as to what happened the Sunday before. He don't know nothing. And he starts prophesying the word of the Lord to me. And this guy used to be in our small group in Birmingham in the Roebuck. He was one of our group guys. And he was a part of the Inverness Vineyard. But he had no idea that we just lost our job. And so he said, he began to prophesy the word of the Lord. Do you know, I actually still have that word written out, handwritten in my phone. I can read it. And what I do is this. I begin to say back to God. Do you know, and even in the 80s when we go to prophecy conferences and John Paul Jackson and Bob Jones and all the guys were there, they would come and speak words and I'd say, man, that's a great word. That's a great word. Do you know, I still have those words and I go back to those words from time to time when I need encouragement from the Lord and I don't have anybody to speak into my spirit. I go back and hear that word again. I'm going to tell you the punchline to this whole thing in just a minute. It's in the book of 1 Timothy. You want to read that if you want to go and flip there. There's words that's been spoken over this church. There's words that have been spoken over your life. Amen. Anybody here ever got a prophetic word? One. Just one. Or a bunch of them. All right. You've got words. Here's what we do with those words. We fold them up. Now, this goes back a ways. If they're on cassette tape, you keep them in a nice box on the shelf in your storage. Until the tape disintegrates and that word goes away. Or you hear that word over and over and over again, and when you get into a situation where you need help, you begin to call that up and you begin to pray that back to the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, Paul tells Timothy, he said, when you get into this situation, he said, you begin to say those words that you have received. Begin to speak those words into existence. There's words that have been spoken over this fellowship. These are good words from the Lord. And I say, whoever's in charge of all the cassette tapes, take them out and play them, write them down, type them in, make them permanent, because that little plastic stuff that goes around and around, you can twirl it with a pencil eraser, that thing will go away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But my word will never pass away. Are you hearing me? Yeah. I was hearing all of that and saying, I got just about 2 more minutes. I want to stop. When I'm down in the bottom, emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever, when I'm bottomed out, anybody else beside me ever been there? Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally? Been there. Then here comes the words. And the word will build you up. And the Lord is telling me, out of all of that, the Lord is saying to me, the plans that God has for this fellowship, listen to this very carefully, the plan that God had for this fellowship has not yet been completed. The Lord says, I hear the Lord talking about increase. I hear him talking about a new outpouring that's coming. And we have to get ourselves, our hearts ready so that we can receive the things that God has in store for us as a fellowship. That would have been a good place to say amen, but you missed it. I could say it again. Dig those words out, the words that God's spoken over you. I'm listening. I asked Jan the other day, I said, this has been a couple of weeks. I said, do you remember what Todd said? Because we don't have the tape. They didn't have a cassette tape. You know, what are you going to do when you don't have a cassette tape? You're in trouble. You got to remember it. So I begin to think, what did he say when he was speaking? He was speaking prophetically. And do you know that today I am doing the thing that Todd said when I stood in California? When today I'm doing the thing that John Paul Jackson said in 86 at the conference in Birmingham. Today we are doing the things that, already doing the things that God has said and foreordained that we would do. And we're going to do more. Just because I'm 66, that doesn't mean I'm done. Amen. We're not done because of our age. Paul, I'm friends with Paul Kane. And some of you know who Paul Kane is. Some of you don't know it. He's a prophetic guy and he's... He hears the Lord real accurately, like names and things. And I followed Paul for a number of years now, and I'm friends with him on Facebook. And he's 80-something years old, and he travels the world preaching the gospel, and it's always the helper that's with him, the guy that travels with him, his assistant. He's always helping him. He gets sick, and he gets tired, and somebody, pray for me now. And I type it in, praying now, Paul. Keep it up. Don't stop. Burn out. It'd be better for us to burn out for God than to rust out.
Come on. Amen.
I'm preaching to me. I'm not just talking to you. I'm preaching to me. I'm not just talking to you. I'm preaching to me. I need to hear this. Burn out for the Lord. Our days are... Our days are moving really fast. Time is moving really fast. There are events around the world, and I don't want to get into that because that's kind of, I'm so scared of that. There's stuff going on. But in the middle of all the stuff and the one nation against this other nation, and these are not happy about this, and the Muslims don't hate the Christians, and the Christians hate the Muslims, but we need to change our mind about some of that so that we can love them the way that Jesus loves them and gave himself for them. Amen. More than ever before, we need to hear what the word of the Lord is and begin to pray that word back to him. Yeah. Let me read over there in Timothy and see what it says. I think I wrote it down. I say to you, speak the prophetic words. Pray them over until the... that's my translation. I'm going to read the actual translation. Hang on a minute. Timothy 1. This is Paul's telling Timothy... And us. Just because he said it to Timothy, it didn't lose when we trickled down to us. It didn't lose any zip. Amen. It's still us, ours. It's my word. This word is not just for Tim. It's for me. Timmy. I charge you, Timothy, my son, according to the prophecies which went before you, that by them that you might do a good warfare. Now, how would you do that? You take the word that was spoken over you and you declare that word over situations. You declare that word over your family. You declare that word over your church. You declare that word over your life. You declare that word over your finances. You declare that word over your school. Everything that touches our life, declare that word of the Lord. Amen. So if you want to know what I'm doing, I'm trying my best to find me a cassette tape player and going back in the archives is what I call it. It's dusty. Some of those words, Lamar was the pastor of the Vineyard in Birmingham and at that time was really a growing church. And he had this guy come to once a month. He would come. He's not Vineyard model. He was very Pentecostal. And he would come once a month. And after about 4 or 5 years of that, I asked Lamar one day, I said, we're out in the lobby, and I said, how long are you going to let the Joe show come? His guy came, his name is Joe. And he'd come once a month and he would preach. And he would prophesy over individuals. Sometimes he'd speak in tongues. And then after he would interpret the tongues over the individuals, very Pentecostal in his delivery. And it's fine. It's freaked some of us out that didn't know about all that. I did, because I was raised Pentecostal. But the rest of the people didn't know what was going on. They couldn't figure out what's the tongues about. And I would say to Lamar, why you allowed the show to go on? He said, because the Lord said to let Joe come. I said, okay. Good. I'm good with that. And I would be at the beach, and Joe would prophesy in a microphone on a cassette tape, and they would give it to me the next Sunday when we went to church. I would be back keeping the nursery or do it happen with the children's church, because I did about everything one time or another, served in every kind of position there or place, wasn't really a position, just do it. And when I would do that, he would say, where's Ron? And he'd go, they'd come out there in the back room where I was at and get me and bring me. He said, I got a word for you. I would hide behind the sound booth, and this is true, across my heart. I'd hide behind the sound booth. Where's Ron? I saw you earlier. You're here. I'm right here. He'd give me a word. And do you know those words are now happening in my life? Those words have come to pass at one time or another, are still happening, still going, still flowing, still happening. I complained about it. Bad on me. Now I can take those words that have been given to me over the years, and I begin to declare those words over situations in my life. And not being afraid, and it's not being presumptuous, I don't think at all, when you pray the word of God back to him, I think it's wonderful to do that. Okay, I know he's really old. He didn't forget. But it's not the praying back to him that he can remember. It's praying back to him so we remember. We remember what he said about us in a situation. We remember what he's talked about already, foreordained that we would be doing. That's what the Lord wants to do for us. I say that 2019 is a banner year. I say that 2019 is an outpouring like we haven't seen or heard tell of in this community, in this area. I hear the Holy Spirit telling me, tell them, Holy Spirit, tell them, I want to pour my spirit out like I have never poured it out before in the history of this church, in the history of this community. Oh, but there's new churches springing up everywhere. It doesn't matter. We follow the Lord. We take that word and we pray it back to him. Lord, your word says, whether it's in this word, this is the logos. This is the logos, where it's the written word. And then there's called the Rhema word. When the Rhema word comes, it's the word that tells, he told Prophet Joe once every month, tell Ron, blah, blah, blah. I got a word for you, Ron, blah, blah, blah. He says, give me that word. And then somebody else will come to town and, where's Ron at? They got a word for him. And now I have to deal with all that. What do I do with it? I put it in a nice box and label it prophetic words with a Sharpie, and it's dusty and it's on the shelf. I'm digging down my storage building now, trying to find some Christmas decorations from bygone era, however long they've been in there, and I stumbled over a box. As soon as I can find me a cassette tape, I'm going to start pinning some of that down. And I write terribly, so I write in tongues anyway, so I just write it out. And I could be a doctor. Father, I just thank you for this chance to share your word. If you will, I'd like for you to stand, and I'd like to hold your hands out like you're going to receive something from the Lord. If you will. If you don't have the strength for that, it's okay. Just maybe lay there. And Lord, today, everyone that had heard, when they heard the word today, that growing up, they were called names that were not pleasant. I hear you say, and break the power of those words over them in Jesus' name. And everyone that went to work and lost and got said bad things about at work, I break the power of those words in Jesus' name. You said in your word that whatsoever we shall bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven, and whatsoever we loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven, and we break the power of all the words that have been spoken in Jesus' name. We bind them in Jesus. A step further. Lord, I bless your people today with your word. I bless your people with the encouragement that you're in charge, that you're speaking to us. You're speaking to us afresh and anew. And I bless you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because you are giving us a promise, a word of encouragement that next year is going to be a better year than this year. We bless that now in Jesus' name. And the Lord said for me to bind every word spoken against this fellowship. I break the power of every word that's been spoken against this fellowship, against the leadership in Jesus' name. I say that no weapon that's formed against them shall prosper, and that this is a time of banner receipts, banner salvations, banner, a record of salvations. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place afresh and anew in this coming year in Jesus' name, like it's never been done. We bless that now in the name of the Lord. Somebody said,